Good evening, people. Welcome to Generational Change. I have a little bit of a surprise. What is tonight? Tonight, we are going to do a special abbreviated version of our wonderful new addition to the podcast, Pontificating with Peter. So you're going to be hearing from me about a wonderful experience that I had over the weekend. And there's actually two stories to this, and it revolves around the Florida Democratic Party. So you guys are really, really going to enjoy this. And so where do we begin? Well, we'll begin on a positive note. On Saturday afternoon, I went to, Saturday morning, let's be fair, it ended in the afternoon. But on Saturday morning, I participated in the 14th annual 5K on behalf of Eye Care, Eye Cure for Fighting Children's Cancer. This is a very big deal in Broward County. Some wonderful people are involved in this event. And interestingly enough, this was the second 5K that I ran in 2 weeks. And I'm not a runner. I hate running. But I was able to do it in 35 minutes. And it was pretty hot outside. So needless to say, I'm a little impressed with myself. I give myself a little pat on the back because I do take care of myself physically. But running is the last thing in the world I ever want to do. But it was really, really great being at this event. And so what made the event so unique? Well, unfortunately, for all the wonderful people that were there, local activists, there was a band, there was some food trucks, there was lots of great stuff. And about 1,000 people participated, which is always great. And I think they raised 1,000 people per fit. They probably raised between $50,000 to $100,000. So they did pretty good. It was a very good event. And like I said, we do it once every year. This is the 14th year going for Eye Care, Eye Cure. Hats off to my friend Shelley. Thank you so much for inviting me. I really had a wonderful time. But it was somewhat soured and maybe inspired me a little bit as it relates to my Congresswoman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was there. And not that I would really care generally about whether or not she attends an event. We're going to run into each other. We're both in politics and we're both in the same area. So inevitably, that's going to happen. But what really irked me about this is not the fact that she showed up, but the fact that she had to get on her bullhorn. She had to talk about how she, anytime Debbie gives a speech, she will always let you know that she's a cancer survivor. Yet, no one ever wants to call out the fact that she is the only member of the South Florida Democratic Congressional Delegation that does not support Medicare for All. Pretty big deal, if you ask me. It wasn't my place to, really go after her. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make a public spectacle or anything like that. But in that moment, I thought it was absolutely atrocious how she always manages, anytime Debbie speaks, she always manages to make it about her, not about the event and what's going on. In fact, if you're a great public official, if you're a great public servant, it's never about you. And yet, every time Debbie does an event, she always manages to bring it back to her about how she is a victim and she is the one suffering. No, actually, you're not. You're part of the very elite 1% of this country. And there are plenty of people who were there who are actually suffering as a result of what has transpired regarding, various forms of cancers that have sprung up over the years. There is an epidemic of epic proportions regarding childhood diabetes. But as I said, Debbie somehow managed to make this about her, which hats off to her. She is clearly capable of doing that at every instance. So that inspired me. I felt juiced up. I was going to really kick butt and take names on that Saturday. And I did. I was able to do the 5K in 35 minutes. And for a non-runner, that's pretty good. That's a mile. It's about a 12. It's a, about 11. It's a little more than an 11-minute mile. And I was able to actually run the first mile without stopping. I probably did the first mile in about 8 minutes. So I actually did a pretty good job. And I felt inspired. You know, usually you would take that negative energy that Debbie fills the air with and think, oh, you know, I'm just going to be down and I'm not going to be inspired to really do much in this instance. But I got to tell you, I felt really inspired. And I ran like there was no tomorrow. And I was determined to be good at this. And I was. But that's not where the story ends. Where the story ends is after the race is over. And Debbie is still there. You would have thought that, yeah, she probably would have hightailed out. You know, the event's over. No big deal. Don't need to hang around. No, she actually hung around. But as I was able to discover, she not only has a wonderful luxury automobile that she doesn't actually drive. It's hers. It's a 5 Series BMW, which license plate reads Vote Dem. And she has a driver. Yeah, that's right. She has a driver. Debbie doesn't actually drive. She has somebody drive for her. So we made this little, well, you can thank Jen for this, this wonderful number, because it goes so appropriately with driving Miss Debbie. And I couldn't help but think, you didn't just show up to an event for supporting fighting against childhood cancer, which you could easily do much more effectively if you actually supported universal health care, which would allow all children to get the proper care that they need if they, God forbid, were, you know, diagnosed with some form of childhood cancer, whatever that may be. But instead, she comes there, she stands on her soapbox, she's leaving in her BMW with a Vote Dem license plate and a driver. And if that's not enough, we were blocked from getting out early because, as I mentioned, I finished the race early. And I thought, okay, you know, I was there, had a good time, but I was ready to go. I was there for about an hour and a half. Okay, ready to go. They wouldn't let us leave because they basically blocked off all exits so that all the runners can finish the race. And I'm thinking, I get it, but you really should have thought about how do you not have like a scenic exit? Well, guess who had a scenic exit to get out of there? Debbie had a scenic exit to get out of there. And she was able to go. And when we drove up and thought, okay, well, now we'll be able to get out of here. But no, you can't go anywhere. See, the Congresswoman is a special and more important person. See, she can leave, but you can't. So you got to wait. And we waited over a half an hour. So that was a pain in the butt. But the idea that not only did she show up to this event and give her speech and then leave in her chauffeured BMW 5 Series, she didn't even participate in the event. Now you would say, okay, it's a 5K. Well, a lot of people are running. But here's the problem. There were people walking it as well. A lot of people. Hell, I even saw a couple of moms pushing strollers just to have their kids involved. I even saw some dogs participating, which was wonderful. Hell, that was the main reason I wanted to go in the first place. Anytime there's a family event that involves dogs, I'm there, baby. All day, every day. Debbie couldn't even bring herself to walk the event. But she made sure to get on her soapbox, and she made sure to take her private exit out of Dodge once the event was concluding. But she didn't want to wait. So what did they do? They made an exception. This is our representative, and this is how she operates at the local level. This is what she does. And when you become so detached, it stinks. It stinks. But that's where politics is today. You know, we do not have a congressional representative in this area who is one of the people. She is one of the 1%. And she makes it known. And if you saw the people that she was hobnobbing with at this event, you'd understand. I just hope enough people start to realize that representation involves helping the least of these, not the most of these. That's really the big difference with Debbie. And then the final thing I want to mention this evening, which I think is very important before we get to our main show. You know, we hear constantly here in Florida about how we have to support the Democratic Party, how the Republican Party is running roughshod. They're putting these terrible bills up, like the Don't Say Gay bill. Now they have the No Woke bill. These are those wedge issue bills that are always going to prey on the most vulnerable and always excite both bases. But what no one's talking about is how there was a horrifically bad bill that affects everybody that was passed today with Democratic senatorial support. And that, of course, is the anti-solar FPNL bill. Three Democratic senators made sure that this bill passed. Senator Bobby Powell, who used to be my state senator when I lived in Delray Beach. Actually, no, he wasn't. He was one district over. Close enough, anyway. Senator Bracey. And finally, the worst one of all, the one that should hurt everybody, Senator Torres. That's right. Senator Victor Torres, supposedly progressive champion, cares a lot about working people. How could you care about working people if you're voting for a bill that hurts not only their economic opportunity, but our environment at the same time? For those of you who don't know, Florida Power and Light is an energy monopoly. It is the only way to get energy of any kind in the state of Florida. They are owned by NextEra Energy. Now, many of you may remember NextEra Energy. Why? Because NextEra Energy was responsible for the Dakota Access Pipeline. And so now, for those people who wanted solar, it just got 10 times harder here in the state of Florida. From an access perspective, from a cost perspective. But not just that. I mean, we're the state that should be the most rigorous regarding the environment, and we're one of the worst. Yeah, when Governor DeSantis does something well regarding the Everglades restoration, that's great, and we appreciate that. But this is the type of bill that proves who's in charge. FPNL gives a hell of a lot of money to political candidates of all federal state levels, and they do both parties. When it comes to corporate special interests, this is a bipartisan effort. The Democrats have a lot of balls asking you to support them when they can't even make a stand on an issue that actually will affect people economically as well as environmentally. Can't do it. And it's a damn shame. And this isn't the first time that Bobby Powell has screwed around like this as a representative. Now, I can tell you guys, when I was living in Delray Beach, I went to the Palm Beach County DEC. There was a meeting that they had when Senator Powell was speaking to the constituency and talking about all of these wonderful things that he's going to be doing. And there was a wonderful gentleman in the audience who decided to question him about his recent vote for privatizing public beaches. Well, needless to say, Senator Powell didn't like that question very much. He was a deer in headlights. And then former head of the state party, Terry Rizzo, love you, babe, but you defended him when he did not need any defending. And said, we're all Democrats here. We're not going to fight about this. And let him off. And now he's voting like this. Don't know much about Senator Bracey, so I can't really comment on him. But I can comment on Senator Victor Torres. I mean, a gentleman who portrays himself as this progressive champion. This is as anti-progressive as it gets. There is no defense of this. And anyone who tries to defend him or defend this vote or defend the Democratic Party for allowing this to get through, because let's be honest, this is no different than Sinema and Manchin. It's just at the state level. It's the same bullshit. Everyone knows it. You got to have a couple of rotating villains every once in a while to make sure that corporate interests are always winning the day. I'm not saying that the Don't Say Gay bill is not important. It is important. But this is really important. And you don't even, and no one even knew about it. No one made a peep. You got everybody on national television talking about the fact that you have a Don't Say Gay bill here in Florida. Where the hell is the national media covering the fact that you can't get solar in Florida? Nowhere. Because the Don't Say Gay bill does not affect the corporate bottom line. This bill does. And that's why they won't talk about it. And shame on every one of them. And shame on you, Senator Torres. And I like you. I've met you. I think you're a decent fella. But you know what? You ain't decent when it comes to this. And to the Democratic Party loyalists or operatives that are out there that had the audacity to try to push this notion on this bill today, that it was these Republicans that are the reason why. No, it's because of the Democrats. They could have held the line, but they didn't do it. Why not? What have you got to lose? They're not the ones in control of the Senate or the House. And they're never going to be, because they're a phony opposition party. They don't give you any reason whatsoever to support them. And this brings the conversation full circle. You want to know why the Democratic Party is so inept and so corrupt and so feckless in the state of Florida? It's because Debbie Wasserman Schultz still runs the party. She is the one who has the relationship with Mike Bloomberg. She is the reason why Manny Diaz, Republican, former mayor of Miami Beach, is in charge of the state party. I won't name names, but I can tell you that there are endless amounts of people who complain and have shared with us in private how Mr. Diaz, as the head of the Florida Democratic Party, does nothing to help them. Nothing. Probably less than nothing. Probably goes out of his way to hurt him. I don't know how anybody can find this acceptable and will pretend like it didn't happen, but it did, and it's terrible. This is what should be getting talked about all day, every day. And this is what people should be questioned on, and not just the Democrats, but the Republicans as well. If you are a Republican voter in the state of Florida, why would you not ask your representative, why did you vote against economic freedom and environmental protection? Why would you vote against that? Are you bought and paid for by corporate interests? You're goddamn right they are. You have to speak truth to power, and this is necessary. You cannot be afraid to say what is necessary, and this was a very bad vote. Very bad. So with that said, we're welcoming our first wonderful guest of the evening. You know her as the founding member of this wonderful podcast. Jen allowed me to have my 20-minute rant. I thought it was pretty good.
What did you think? I thought it was great. I mean, I wasn't at that event, so I felt, you know, that's not anything I could talk about. But the irony of somebody driving a car that says vote Dem in a luxury car with a driver is just hilarious to me. Like the tone deafness is just suffocating. We're too far now.
We are?
I think so.
Yeah, that's right. Okie dokie.
So well, that was my thought when you told me that. Like, you can't, that shit doesn't write itself. Like, that's awesome. Like, the first thing that came to my mind was the Driving Miss Debbie Saturday Night Live
text. But like skit. I said, I think what's even worse than the whole, you know, being driven and vote Dem and all that, how do you show up for a 5K and not at least walk the 5K?
I don't know.
And then to prove what an elitist shill you are, because I saw it. This isn't me making this up. I saw Debbie get escorted privately out of the event while we all had to sit around with our thumbs up our ass.
Well, that's always how she does an event. She shows up and, but you know, because she is on a-
How much of a diva can you possibly be? Oh, let me stop myself from even asking, because I'm sure she could be a hell of a lot worse than she is.
She's pretty bad.
Yeah.
She is a purse carrier.
She is a purse carrier.
No, she has a purse carrier.
And she is-
That's where I draw the line.
When you think about somebody who would call the cops.
I mean, you've held my purse a couple of times, like on very, very rare occasions. And really only for taking a picture, but not, you know. She is a purse carrier.
Yeah. How do the Democrats defend? How does anybody get up to vote for the Democrats when you have... And that's the thing, like I'm, you know, when people are like, oh, you're just being insensitive to the Don't Say Gay bill. I'm not being insensitive in any way. I totally understand that it is an important issue. But with all due respect, that issue is a wedge issue because it affects a small part of the population. This bill, the FPNL anti-solar bill, this affects everybody.
But nobody pays attention to that. But that's by design. So everybody who gets all wrapped up in that, do not get me wrong. This is the bill where you're not allowed to talk about sexual orientation or gender identity.
I'm telling you, they sit around in a room and think, how could we screw with people?
Well, how can we get people all riled up and distracted?
Right.
But then I'm not saying it's not important. But I would love to see it get to the point where anybody tries to enact that rule. You want to move over?
Yeah.
I can't because your roller is in there. Okay.
I just can't.
You fall too far.
I just can't understand. But again, I can understand because this is really no different. And we're going to talk about this with Lee. He will be coming in 5 minutes. It's very important for people to understand that the media basically tells you what they want you to know about and what you are not supposed to know about. And this is no different than right now, while we're all distracted about what's going on in Ukraine, there has been a massive, massive bombing escalation in Yemen. And no one's talking about it.
No, because those are our friends. We're friends with the Saudis. This is why I feel like I don't like anybody bombing anyone. I'm an anti-imperialist. I don't believe in imperialism. And so I don't believe in it when we do it. And I don't believe in it when Russia does it. And I don't believe in imperialism, period. So, but it's for anybody in this country to think we have any moral standing on the issue. It's just ludicrous. I feel like I'm on a candid camera show. Are you kidding me? There's people that literally live in rubble in Yemen, families that live in caves that they've had to dig into the rubble that used to be their homes. And they live every day running in and out as the drones continue to bomb overhead. And that's us in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, it's just kind of hard for me. I guess I'm just a little desensitized.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think if the media spent as much time covering Ukraine, if they covered Yemen the same way, do you think we'd be out of Yemen by now?
Oh, well, yeah, that's the whole point. That's the thing we were talking about with Tom Hartman about how Big Brother controls the perception. But, you know, when you say media, what we're really talking about is oligarchs in particular. I mean, it's corporate. It has nothing to do. You know, media is just the platform. It's really more of a corporate control / corporate government control of the content, which is a huge reason why I can't get too incensed about it, because I don't know what we're seeing is real and what isn't real. You know, we get shown things or people pick things up and it's like, oh, that was from 5 years ago. And then they're showing it on a loop. And I'm very hesitant to as to what to believe. I do know that Russia is attacking the Ukraine.
Certainly is.
Yes. I know that. And I am opposed to that. I am opposed to imperialism. But it's just, I'm not very confident with the information right now that I'm getting to make any really intellectual opinion. So it's not that I don't care. I don't like to just talk out of my ass.
And
so
that,
I'm saying, so I don't know.
And that also speaks to an even greater problem, which right now is the fact that, you have the neo-Nazis that are fighting on the side of Ukraine. And
I don't particularly care for neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
Not something I'm big on. However, I'm really not big on us participating in sovereign nation affairs in any way, unless there is a genocide. And ironically, the one thing we're not helping with is the genocide we're perpetuating in Yemen.
There's the hypocrisy, of course.
Well, right. So the idea, it's not that I don't care about Ukraine. And I feel bad for Russia, because everything to me is just mothers trying to protect their kids from point A to point B. The rest of it is just noise. And everybody is like us in other countries, and they have very little control of what their government is doing. And I feel bad for those people. So that's, across the board. But it's I'm not going to get all crazy about it when I don't trust the information.
And that, again, is all one of the main reasons why we are having a wonderful friend return to the show, because how do you know what information to trust?
Now
what you've seen over the past 5 years, we've talked about this. We talked about watching certain shows on RT America, not just Lee, but, Tom Hartman used to be on there.
Okay.
You know
who I love.
The Body.
I do.
The Body.
But I do. But I, I picked up RT, I feel like a long time ago. It's been like a few years already that I started watching that. But in the same vein as I, you know, used to care more about Al Jazeera, like I feel like I'm better off knowing what they think rather than what somebody here wants me to think. So I've always sort of looked for that. And I like RT and I like their programming. And this is very frustrating. And for people who don't know what we're talking about, RT America is no more. And it's a lot of good people that had a lot of good information on. And there was stuff that I watched on there that wasn't like my, you know, my belief system. Like it wasn't like a, it wasn't an echo chamber.
No.
It was diverse. It's not but good. This, people were being, the fourth estate is being dead. Like it's really scary. And notice how nobody's talking about this very quietly while we're all worrying about the Don't Say Gay bill. Why aren't we worrying about that? We're being told not to say anything. And that's what's happening to our media.
And now we will
find way bigger problem, people.
And now we will find out. He is the former host of Redacted Tonight on RT America. He is the host of Moment of Clarity with Lee Camp. You know him, you love him. He's a funny man. And I mean that in the most endearing way possible. Lee Camp, welcome back to Generational Change.
Thanks for having me. Now that I have no platform, I'm just going to do Redacted Tonight on a street corner with a tin can.
So. Well, in D.C., you'll get a lot of attention.
The world needs buskers, too. You know yes. what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, I'm sort of ashamed to admit, but I didn't know this was all going on. And then I saw your explanation as to what happened. That was really the first time I heard of this. And then I went and searched it, and it's not being covered anywhere that this just happened. It's almost like, am I imagining that, Lee? Or is nobody, like, I Googled it, and it doesn't come up anywhere that there's no more RT America.
There are some articles, but you're right that it's not like a big... I mean, there should be journalists everywhere outraged because they should be defending journalism, whether it's something they agree with or not. And yeah. I guarantee you that if Fox News were shut down tomorrow, you'd have people on CNN saying it was wrong. Whereas right now you have all of the you know, liberal Twitter sphere just celebrating and everything. And there are very few articles, you know, there's one CNN article and a few others. And they act like the ones I've read act like this was just some choice RT made because they, you know, had lost viewers or something. I highly doubt that. I mean, they didn't tell us what happened. I have no inside knowledge, but I know that it happened all within the span of a few hours between, you know, sometime on Wednesday. They went from thinking everything was fine and operating to everything is shut down and over, and not even a mumble of we might be back, we might start anew. It is all over. And, you know, as you mentioned, there's varying viewpoints on RT. There are some right wingers there that I very much disagree with. But what united all of us was that most of our coverage, most of what we did was outside of the allowable thought process of your mainstream corporate airwaves. We were outside of the little tiny Overton window, which is allowable arguments on, you know, CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC. And that made us dangerous. You know, I'm anti-war. I'm opposed to this war. I'm opposed to all wars. I wrote every word I said on Redacted Tonight. I was never told what to say. I was never censored, but none of that matters. You know?
It's scary to me as a journalism person. That's it scary. Is. It scared me. Oh, yeah. Before I forget, I know that you're now starting a Patreon. So what is that so I could put it up?
Yeah. Patreon.com/Lee Camp.
Oh, well, that's
rather straightforward, because not only was my show canceled with RT America, but Redacted Tonight videos are on YouTube are banned across Europe and the UK. And my personal podcast, Moment of Clarity, was deleted from Spotify all in the span of 3 days.
So let me ask you, what do you think happened, really? I mean, obviously, you don't know for sure. This is just speculation. Like, what happened at the top that trickled down to cause this? Like, what's the reasoning here other than clearly stifling the voice? But I mean, who made these decisions? Like, where does this come from?
I mean, I don't know. It was obviously a decision made by management, but that doesn't mean that it was really that they really had a choice. It seems to me that it had to either be literally the Justice Department saying you're done, or some kind of sanctions that basically made it so that these, you know, the executives at this news studio could be arrested. But whatever it was instantaneous, which, you know, if people like to say, oh, well, they lost some of their distributors like DirecTV, but they had money to operate for at least several months, if not a year. They had huge online presence, so they would keep being seen. And if it was just a matter of needing to cut back, they would have probably cut back to just being a news, you know, station and getting rid of some of the other personalities. But none of that happened. It was instantaneous.
Very interesting.
We are seeing the complete destruction of independent media everywhere. The channels are suppressed heavily. We deal with it on a regular basis.
This is a worldwide thing too, just so you know. It's a worldwide thing.
And we are kind of living through a 1984 type situation. And what's even more surreal is how so especially comfortable liberals welcome censorship. It is incredible to me how they embrace it. And listen, there's hypocritical conservatives as well, but there really is this niche group of liberals, especially in big city dwellings like DC, New York, LA, where they cheer this on. They cheer on this idea. Oh, we silenced this person.
Oh, if you were happy about Alex Jones, this is your problem. This is your problem. Yeah. I wasn't in favor of Trump being deplatformed, and I'm never.
No,
in favor
and if anything, I thought Trump should have been punished. But it's like you just cut him off forever. No, now it's like you want the movement to go underground. And if you could talk about what that's been like watching this slow death that's been going on, and everyone's feeling it now. And we've been trying to tell people, you spend your days getting into like these Twitter wars and these YouTube channels commenting on other like you guys are so lost as to what's going on right now. This is a much more serious problem that I don't think people realize, and would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people who, just because it happened to me, I suddenly started to care about it. I've been talking about this for years. I think the first one to be cross-platformed, cross-deleted from multiple platforms was Alex Jones. And I said then that I disagree with just about everything Alex Jones says, but unless he's calling for people to be harmed physically, then I don't think that should happen, because guess what? It's going to happen to us next. It's going to happen to you next. And sure enough, here we are. And instead, people like to act like, oh, you know, Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan have been canceled. They're still on the largest platforms in the world. Like, no, I've been deplatformed. I've been canceled. Like, it's this laughable debate. But yeah, it's been going on for years, largely since Trump got into office was when it started. But a couple of years ago, and very few people raised hell about this, but I tried to, there were 800 pages deleted from Facebook, including Free Thought Project, Police the Police, an anti-police brutality page, antiwar.com. Several of those were all deleted at once. And the editors from those pages were also suspended permanently on Twitter, meaning these are platforms, massive tech companies discussing this with each other. If it just happens on one, you can say it's an algorithm that did something, but it happens on multiple. That means someone is sitting down and deciding to deplatform people. And in my case, it's, you know, basically for being anti-war, for being anti-imperialism, for being anti-corporate America. Those are the ideas that make me, a leper went to mainstream media. And make me now deplatformed in a larger way.
Right. It's the people that are pacifists that are most threatening in the world. I recognize the...
Right. Pacifists are not profitable.
Right. They're not. Well, it's just, you know, they're very threatening with all that, you know, anti-imperialist stuff. And we're pretty much on that same page. I'm not in favor of Russia imperialism. I'm not in favor of our imperialism. I find the hypocrisy suffocating. And it's very hard for me. It's not a whataboutism. Like, I don't want it to be like that. Like I the Putin thing, not okay to be invading people, not good. But shouldn't we be focusing on where we're improperly invading, as opposed to, I don't know. I'm not saying we should support it.
Well, right before you came on, we were talking about the fact that as bad as things are in Ukraine, there has been an unconscionable bombing brigade happening in Yemen right now, and it's not even getting acknowledged. Yeah. And this is so, like, And again, we were, and what happened here in Florida today, you know, everybody's focusing on DeSantis and the Don't Say Gay bill. And yet FPNL, which is owned by NextEra Energy, which owns the pipelines, shoved through this anti-solar bill with the help of Democratic senators. Right. So
it's a distraction.
To me, that's the issue at hand. What is your assessment of what's going on in Ukraine right now and how this whole like anti-Russia thing has taken shape? It looks like another Cold War is what they're trying to get.
Yeah, I mean, we've been headed towards Cold War for a while now, but, you know, yes, you're right that, and something that's driven me nuts is everyone cares about Ukraine right now, and for 20 years, no one seems to care that much about the 6 million people. Those are the latest estimates that we've killed with our wars on terror across so much of the world over the past 20 years, but even if you ignore that, because people go, well, that doesn't answer the question of Ukraine, we are... The U.S. and to some degree the EU, but more so the U.S., is hugely responsible for what's going down right now in Ukraine. That doesn't mean I defend Putin's actions. I've said again and again, I'm against the invasion. I'm against the war. I'm against bombing. I'm against bombing of civilians. I'm against all those things. But Putin and Russia, the Russian government, have warned again and again that adding Ukraine to NATO was a red line. I mean, that hasn't happened, but there were talks going on. Sending missiles to Ukraine is a red line. Nazis on Russia's border is a red line. And Russia tried again and again with the Minsk agreement and other areas to have this not be the case. Now, that doesn't mean, oh yeah, great, so bomb civilians, but the U.S. pushed further and further towards this red line, and now here is what the result is. And the other factor of this, which I think is probably the most redacted, most censored angle of this entire war in Ukraine, is should you care about the innocent civilians in Ukraine? Yes. But right now, that care, that concern, people in the streets with Ukrainian flags and changing their Facebook thumbnails to Ukrainian colors, that concern is being weaponized to continue the war. Right now, the only way Russia is too powerful to lose to Ukraine. Russia is one of the most powerful militaries in the world. It will not lose to Ukraine. Okay. It's just not possible. So the only way this ends is peace talks. And the U.S. is trying to stop those and stymie those. The U.S. is trying to continue this because they view it as a propaganda win. They can put sanctions on Russia. They can create global sentiment against Russia. It's useful to the U.S. right now. They're knocking away their pipelines to Europe with their gas exports. So the U.S. views it as useful. I don't know whether it will be in the long term, but views it as useful to continue this conflict. So while we're all running around saying, I care about Ukrainian civilians, the U.S. government does not. And they're using the Ukrainian civilians as pawns, sending guns to the grandmas in the streets and sending missiles to Ukraine is just going to get more people killed. It's horrific.
Yeah, I always think from the perspective of these just regular people going about their business, and they're having to deal with this crap. And they're probably, you know, the Ukrainians and Russians, these are all just people. Like, this is a total.
Well, that's toxic. Toxic nationalism makes us believe that it's not individuals, it's their country, you know?
Right. And there are so many people there that I'm sure are very unsupportive of this on both sides of that. But it's not something that we need to be involved in any way at this particular moment.
How much do you think Biden's lack of cognitive ability at this point is really hindering his ability to lead in this moment?
I mean, I think that the decisions are probably being made by others. I think that someone walks up to him and says, here's what we're doing. So Are we leading down a catastrophic path like idiots, like imperial idiots, like a cornered tiger that just wants to claw everything? Yes, but I don't think it's Biden doing it. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Biden's a catastrophe of president, but I just think like this is the U.S., you know, military complex has been pushing towards this. I mean, NATO expansion began under Clinton and it has just gone further and further. You know, the 2014 Maidan coup in Ukraine, which was Nazi, you know, the power behind it was Nazis, and the U.S. backed it and helped it and funded it and armed it. You know, that was under Obama. So this is not, you know, it wasn't like Biden woke up yesterday and this happened. This is a long term, many years pushing of Russia towards this moment.
I've been thinking, and that's part of my difficulty in really having a position on this, because what I'm picturing is like two kids on the playground, and one, there's a line in the sand, and one keeps like coming over there and like sticking its foot over there. And then the other one eventually slaps it back. And then, oh, look what you did. And I feel like that's our foreign policy in general.
Sticking their foot over and drawing a swastika in the sand.
Well, right. But I mean, it's like, I know that there's so much more to this story. It isn't that one day Putin woke up and decided, I'm going to go bomb the Ukraine, which granted, I do think he's also a psychopath. I think a lot of these people are psychopaths, but there's a backstory that we don't have, that we don't get, that I do think is relevant. And like, nuance matters, people. Like, I don't know how to explain that any better. Like, and I feel like that's just totally gone. We don't have that at all.
There's so much of this conflict that is left out of all your mainstream airwaves intentionally. I mean, after the Maidan Nazi-backed coup in 2014, the Donbass region, which many of them consider themselves Russian, they had these borders thrust on them. Hey, you're Ukrainian now. And they go, no, I'm not. I speak Russian. I have Russian culture. I don't view myself as Ukrainian. And they say, too bad, you're in Ukraine now. Well, many of them have been fighting these Nazi battalions for the past 8 years. 15,000 people have died in these wars in that region. And to them, this didn't start yesterday. To them, this is the ramping up of something that's been going on for 8 years. But for some odd reason, CNN wasn't telling you to paint your face, yellow and blue. Several years ago. So for them, this has been going on a long time. Many Ukrainians view themselves as Russian. It's a very complicated situation. Now, none of that justifies murdering people and dropping bombs, but right. Like you said, these people are psychopaths at the top of these countries. These almost without exception, most ruling elite are at minimum sociopaths. And this, we have to get past this bullshit, toxic nationalism, where we act like, oh, every Russian is evil now. Really? Because 2 weeks ago, you were cheering Ovechkin for winning the NHL whatever cup. He was your hero a minute ago, but now he's Russian and he's evil. It's just nonsense. I mean, because you were born inside this border and someone else was born inside of that border, that makes them an asshole? What?
Stop talking open borders, man. You're starting to get all crazy and stuff about that. Those lines are importantly.
And 2 years, you were pushing me to finally watch Wag the Dog, and I finally did.
Oh, this is Wag the Dog all over.
This really is. Like, this is Shu, like on steroids. It's so bad. And, you know, the way that they're trying to basically make, you know, I mean, listen, Zelensky, you know, give him credit for fighting. You know, he could have easily fled. But they're basically trying to you know, saint this man or knight this man. And I'm just thinking, this is war propaganda at its best. And everyone is falling for it after everything that we've gone through. No one wants to ask questions. Yes, Putin is wrong. But for every action, there's a reaction. There's a reason why we're there. And it's almost like the State Department has to shut down. Here's a great example, Lee. We'd love to get your thoughts on this because, again, another thing the media will not share with us unless we're politicos and really paying attention. The Biden administration pushed on, a couple of new rotating villain senators to make sure they vote against making sure the sanctions affected the petroleum in Russia. So everything else gets covered. But yet the one thing that would actually hurt the oligarchs, now that's off limits.
The first rule of Fight Club.
Yeah, don't talk about it. So when everyone's advocating for sanctions and everyone bitched at us because we said sanctions are the wrong way to go, it's like because sanctions hurt the vulnerable, not the powerful.
Right. Yep. Well, and the oil issue is far more complicated. Despite the fact that the U.S. has become an exporter of oil because we're fracking and we're turning everybody's water flammable, we fear right now that Russia could turn off the oil spigot, which could hurt Europe, which we wouldn't have enough oil to supply Europe if that were to happen. Right now, Russia is still supplying Europe with oil, even without the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and so. You can read the news the past couple of days. The U.S. just flew and met with Maduro about getting Venezuelan oil. They met with the president that they claim is not the president to get Venezuelan oil. Like, clearly someone did not plan ahead on this because when Russia shuts off their oil spigot, It is ugly times for Europe, especially. And, you know, what are we going to just watch Europe starve as we say, that's okay. We're fracking the hell out of every neighborhood, so we're cool. Things are going to get ugly in a lot of ways if this keeps going down this path.
Yeah. Not to mention the people, but you know, that's not the concern of anybody in power. This has nothing to do with all those people over there.
And again, everything is all just one big distraction because they're all.
I think it also might have to do with their economy. I wondered about that. Yeah. Like, to me, I know that their economy is really, Russia's economy is in a really bad way. And when I think of the movie Wag the Dog, I think of, okay, I'm Putin and the economy sucks and I'm probably unpopular and I am very insecure because, you know, I got issues. And what would make people like me and support me? You know, a good military action. We got to, you know, the whole thing. And I think that it just didn't go that way.
But that doesn't give credit to the fact that he has tried to. And again, I'm not saying he is wonderful. I've criticized every level of this invasion, but he has tried to have these agreements where they would promise not to be in NATO, where they would stop receiving missiles from the U.S. He's tried to, he's made clear what could be the peace agreements that would have stopped all of this. And we just violated them all or pressured Ukraine to violate them. So,
yeah, you mean that he doesn't like war games at the border? That's not fun for him. He's not into that.
Nazis killing Russians at the Russian border is for some reason a sore point, considering 27 million Russians died fighting World War II. 27 million. 500,000 Americans died. So for them, it's a bit of a sore point.
Yeah, actually telling the truth. And as we pointed out a while back, we flew the American flag over Iwo Jima, but it was the Russians who flew the flag over Berlin.
Why do people, you know what, we're so easily and quickly manipulated where history fades away and it's just this one record of the victor because we were friends with them until then the military complex had nobody to fight about and then that wasn't profitable. So we had to have an enemy and it had to be them. And I feel like that's just what they're replaying it, kind of like how Hollywood's run out of ideas and they just keep recirculating the same one.
And you have
that's
to
what
keep,
this is.
And you have to keep drilling for oil and selling the oil because you got to get people to buy it. It's not self-sustaining energy, which is why right now you would think there would be a massive movement of some kind, basically saying if there's ever a time for us to wake the F up and start enacting some type of a clean energy grid forever. Hello. This is it. We should never, ever have to worry about this again. And to me, this is the moment.
Yeah.
You know, all of this is going on while climate change continues. Like fossil fuels need to stop yesterday. And yet instead, this is all anyone is focused on.
Don't you find it sort of like, I look at the people that run around talking about this, like they're so arrogant. They really think like they're so much bigger than the universe that really they're going to run around and do all this. Like I always sort of have this thought that at any moment, the universe can be done with us at any moment. It could be a comet coming from. It could be a lot of things. Who the hell knows?
We don't know.
We'll kill ourselves.
We're doing that. And it's just amazing to me that these people are running around actually thinking that they have this under control. They have nothing under control. They have man-made lines. Just like if you're living in the Ukraine, but you're actually Russian, it's like decided who lives where. It's like my friends in Texas, whose families were from there before it was Texas. And then all of a sudden now they're the bad guys for not learning English. When they never moved anywhere, they've always been right. Like, and that's this thing. And it's just so fascinating to me.
Lee, what's going to happen when China decides that Taiwan belongs to China?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of issues with China, not least of which being that they own all our debt. So, considering Russia and China have an alliance and we've been doing everything we can to alienate China and piss them off. I mean, we are in late stage empire, you know, and now all we have really remaining for our so-called strength is just military action, you know, 900 military bases around the world, whereas Russia has I believe 18 outside of Russia, almost all of them in former Soviet bloc countries. And China, I believe, still has one outside of China. So we're trying to own the world with military force while the world is moving on economically.
But, you know, I just discovered today that apparently Nicolas Maduro is actually the president of Venezuela. I thought it was Juan Guaido. I wasn't sure about that. But, our congressional representative, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, tells us all the time that Juan Guaido is the president of Venezuela. So I was just completely in shock when I heard about that. And so now, apparently, no nation on earth is more sanctioned than Venezuela. So we decided now that because we actually need them, that maybe we might lift the sanctions.
But here's the thing. You think, does anybody in their right mind think that those sanctions affect the wealthy people that are in charge, like in any way, shape, or form? No, I mean,
sanctions in general are economic war. And who do they harm the most? Well, they kill the infirmed, the elderly, babies that can't get medicine. That is who dies and struggles the most under any kind of sanction. Right now, we are killing more in Afghanistan with our economic war on them than we killed with our bombs. The UN estimates that we have killed 100,000 in Venezuela from our sanctions, basically cutting off medicine and medical devices, et cetera. And, you know, we're doing it to Iran. So we put these sanctions on countries we know that it will kill mostly elderly, babies, the ill. That's who it kills. And we think that's useful. I mean, that's how disgusting our government is. They just view that as useful.
Yeah. No, to me, it's warfare. And it's amazing that it doesn't. Well, we know why it doesn't get coverage, why nobody is really talking about why that's going on. And we are the bad guys. We are the rogue nation. And the only reason that we're not held accountable is we removed ourselves from the International Criminal Court. So, you know, that's so convenient for us.
And passed an act that is lovingly called the Hague Invasion Act in 2002, saying if anyone gets brought to the ICC that's an American citizen, we will invade the Netherlands.
Have you considered, I know it's very quick and you probably haven't even had a chance to really reflect on what's happened. Have you considered what your next options are? And one of the things that Jen and I have talked about, because we really, you know, you do this for a career, we do this to be involved, you know, this isn't, you know, how we pay, you know, how we make a living. But we really think there needs to be an independent media. What would you call it?
I would call it a co-op conglomerate is what I would call it. I would call it a shared conglomerate, but that has financial backing and that there's a variety of things so that there's real journalists. Then there's people that do, you know, like our nonsense or whatever, like, but just
like Ring of Fire.
Yeah. Different things. And, you know, yeah, that's what I think. I mean, that would be the best thing ever, but we need a benevolent benefactor.
Mark Cuban, are you out there? Can you hear us, Mark?
I feel like maybe he'll eventually see this. If I just act like I'm sweet on him, he's, you know.
Well, there may be an event coming up where Jen and Mark might have the opportunity to meet.
Give me 5 minutes with him.
Yeah, Jen can work her magic. She's capable. She can make Mark Cuban. Hey, listen.
I'm wily.
You definitely are wily. And, you know, I always say Mark Cuban's the one billionaire with a conscience, if that even counts for anything.
Well, I just think he's somebody that if he wanted to put his money behind some sort of platform that was like RT, which people, you have no idea how ironic it is that we criticize the Russians when the RT platform is the only platform that didn't censor its content creators. And we don't have one that's like that, but yet we think somehow that the irony is so not lost on me.
Or how about the irony that my show Redacted Tonight has finally been redacted?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was inevitable. Nothing lasts forever, though. That's inevitable.
And they redacted it, they discovered, oh shit, we don't want anybody hearing about this stuff.
No.
This is way too good for working people. And we simply can't have that. And now, you know, this is like I said. All right. So now Lee's gone. Who's next?
So what are you going to do, Lee? What's your plan?
So my plan is so far to try and find the funding to create something similar to Redacted. And it won't be the same, but something that has that feel. And so I have the patreon.com/LeeCamp, and hopefully that gets it started. Luckily, all the things that I was doing outside of Redacted tonight continue. My video series, Moment of Clarity, my podcast, Government Secrets, and Common Censored. Those all continue. And I actually created a website that's a little bit like what you're talking about, except not with big funding. It's a it aggregates just a bunch of independent, great left-wing voices at radindymedia.com. And, you know, it's kind of it doesn't have a lot of funding. It's not a moneymaker. It's not sponsored by anybody. It was just created by me and Eleanor Goldfield. And the goal was that not only could it serve as kind of a digital newspaper for people every day to check, you know, what are the awesome voices out there saying. But on top of that, if any of them got deleted, people could go to Rad Indie Media and still find their stuff. So ironically, now I'm the one who needs people to go there and find my stuff. But that is the wrong website. Radindiemedia.com.
Yeah, okay. Not indie like Indianapolis.
Or like Indie Media. I don't know.
It's IE Indie.
Okay, so www.radindiemedia.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Did I do that right? All right. Well, you guys will yell at me again if I do it wrong. We'll see. Let's see. How's that? Is that better?
No, you're still missing the word media.
Radindymedia.com. See, right. Now you're responsible for that.
And I'm the pothead. But is this like what we're talking about? Like a co-op where there's different content creators and and is it all people that are doing like real journalism? Is there any nonsense there?
So you call nonsense your show? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and well, like us, yes. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
our show is nonsense. I would say okay. We have fun, but we talk about serious stuff.
No, we do, and we do.
No, but a minute ago you said nonsense like us. That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean because we're not journalists. I'm not out doing investigative reporting. I do like to think that we rotate actual journalists on to give information, but I would not put myself out there as a journalist. So
it's journalism versus personality shows. So like my show at RT America was a personality show. Right. Yeah, we have both. It's there's no, the only dividing lines are watching, listening and reading. So podcast, video or articles, but we don't divide it by journalism versus, personality.
Right. Cool. That's fun.
Yeah, that stuff is very important.
We need to support that kind of stuff,
and
guys.
And you really should support Lee because he is a proud young papa for the first time.
And yeah. I didn't know you had a baby.
Yeah, they just had... Yeah.
A new one. I just taught him the word unemployed.
Oh, well, it's... I don't think you're going to be unemployed for very long. You are very talented. You have a great wit about you. And obviously, you do a lot of great work. It's not easy to deal with this, obviously, and this could not have come at a worse time. But of course, we're going to do whatever we can to support you. Guys, if you can help, patreon.com/LeeCamp. He is always very entertaining. And of course, we will hopefully have more of these conversations going forward. We know that you're on limited time this evening.
Thank you for coming on.
Anything you want to plug before you head on out?
Patreon. Well, Patreon.
That's it. Yeah. If people liked Redacted tonight, then I hope they chip in and get all the perks of Patreon/LeeCamp. And just keep fighting. And the context of our reality is so important. So, people want to act like you're more virtuous right now if you're ignorant. If you just spend a moment going, but there are neo-Nazis heavily infiltrated. Like, you just start to say that and they go, it's like, no, we need to be, we need to get the context. We need to be intelligent about all this. And we need to understand the geopolitics of this whole situation rather than just changing our thumbnail to Ukrainian flag colors.
There is no question that what you do is very important. What we are trying to do is very important.
Bye, Stephen.
And it goes without saying that this is going to get worse, a lot worse, if we don't get serious. We just saw... we're very friendly with Ryan Grimm and Kim Iverson, and the idea that even Rising can get censored for a week. Who knows if they're going to get this three strikes and out. And this is a station that's on the corporate algorithm. So to suggest that we're not all on borrowed time regarding having independent voices, if you don't think we can't be censored into oblivion because there is a growing awakening amongst the working class in this country, we see what's happening with the labor movement, and that is the future. It is very important that not only do you guys support Lee's work, but we need to be supporting each other. We need to be not doing this constant infighting. We are strength in numbers, and I have no doubt that we can get a lot better at this, even if it takes a moment like this for us to, you know, say, God damn, it's really bad. But Lee, we can't thank you enough for coming on this evening, and we certainly hope that you'll come back again soon, and let's keep this conversation going, brother.
Thanks, Lee.
Talk soon. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Anytime, man.
I can't.
Yeah, I'm not going to address it.
No. No, I am not. So, yeah. So that happened. So RT America is no more.
Yeah.
Jesse, if you are out there, I love you. And I would love to talk to you about this. And I'm sure you've got something to say about it. Just saying.
John.
No.
Ventura. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the whole RT America got canceled. And now Jesse is, you know. Not that I'm like concerned about how he's going to eat or anything, but it still just sucks. And I would love to hear his comment on it.
Matt, I agree with you. And that's not a reason to cancel Ron.
We don't believe in canceling and we don't believe in censoring. And I don't care what people say. And the fact that we're being distracted with what they're saying is the problem.
Yeah, I would say that that's definitely governor of Minnesota.
Love him.
I would definitely come on with Jen Pearlman and that other guy.
I do. I love him. I do. I liked him. I liked him as a wrestler. I liked him as a governor. I like him now. I just like him.
All right. So it's got to be. All right. So I got to do this one more time, guys. I apologize. Because Peter can't do anything right the first time. You know, there's a world's most tasteless joke. HTTP. www.
Okay. So today I got my first paycheck.
Rad in.
I got my first paycheck that I've gotten in like. .com. I don't know. How long has it been since I've had like a paycheck? Like 12 years. And it's from Northwestern University for the talk that I gave. And I couldn't help but just smiling that for the first time that there's money coming from them to me. I gave them so much money. So I just kind of, I sort of basked in that for a minute, that not only is it a paycheck, but it's from them.
Well, if it come from thought. Anybody, it would be Northwestern. So you did have a good time in Chicago?
Great time in Chicago. I did the tourist thing for a whole day. The weather was gorgeous. It was 66 degrees. It was beautiful. And I did so much walking because that justifies my eating.
Back off, Pierce. Back off.
Yeah, whatever. Let me tell you, I was in the master's program there. I didn't go there for undergrad. I would have never been able to get in there for undergrad. But I did the whole tourist thing and I did the architecture boat tour, which by the way, if you were ever there,
I'll go back.
No. You must do it. You would love it. Like there were so many things that you would have appreciated on that tour. For the architecture in Chicago is probably some of the best in the world in terms of the variety. And how it works together. It's just, it's really beautiful. And there's a lot of really cool historic things that happened there architecturally. So it's just, it was a very cool thing.
We miss Ed Schultz, obviously, Julian, we're fighting for.
Yes.
We've had Farron Cousins, Lee Camp, Tom Hartman, Chris Hedges, and...
I do want to get Mike.
We would love to get Mike Papantonio. Of course, we would love to get Abby Martin. So we are working on those things.
We've had Julian Assange's... brother,
kind of
we've had his partner. We've had Stella Morris. We've had, you know, we're trying, you know, those are the people. And I mentioned it the other day. I spoke to Ed Schultz. I called in to Air America once. This had to be back in, I want to say it was probably about 2004. And I remember I was in the car and I pulled over and I got through and I was so excited and I got to talk to Ed Schultz.
Yeah, he's definitely great.
But that was back when Rachel Maddow was remotely normal.
Oh, those days are long gone.
I know. Well,
long gone.
That was in.
But you see how bad MSNBC is doing in the ratings right now and how they are desperately trying to get Rachel to stay.
Oh, I wanted to tell you something. Did you see this thing about that? Did I forward you that story about with Marco Rubio? Yeah. Did you see that thing? People need to understand this, that this happened. Well, what was the – wait.
Yeah, but Rubio also came out to his credit and said there should absolutely not be a no-fly zone over Ukraine, that that will lead to World War III. And, you know, I guess credit to him for at least having some sense, or whoever told him to say that, because we all know Rubio's a puppet. He doesn't actually think for himself. I can say that on pretty good authority. He really doesn't have an independent thought in his head.
No.
But, hey, he wants the life, and he's got it all right. And he's probably going to protect – he's going to – definitely keep a seat for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the Democrats are pushing Val. That seems to be what the establishment is doing. They've already sort of
which
tried to crown
Val. Which
we both think
is a really big mistake.
Not
because we don't think that Val doesn't have potential. You know, there are some really good candidates who are running right now.
They don't care about good candidates.
Now, what do they care about? Virtue signaling? Is that all they care about?
I think so. But here's the thing. She's not going to win. She can't win. And it's just ludicrous that they're ignoring three really solid candidates, which we all know exist.
One in particular who is an elected official and is doing pretty well fundraising, all things considered, with no help from the
party. I'd like to have them, the three of them, on.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know how you feel. Well, and I don't know how they'd feel about it.
I'll ask. Why not?
You know, I mean,
that,
you know, I recently was contacted by one, you know, basically hinting at its endorsement season. And I feel like we have a platform, and that's sometimes, and we have endorsed people in the past. Like, we endorsed Nina, and we've endorsed, like,
yeah, a different circumstance. In fact, we have to plan our trip to,
we endorsed Cleveland. Erica Smith. Like, there's certain people that we've endorsed that has happened, but this case is very different because there are three non-corporate progressive candidates that we like. And so it's not something where I'm easily, you know, where it's not something where I feel comfortable endorsing. We are saying what we care about is that they don't take corporate money and everybody should sort of decide for themselves. But the reality is the establishment is shoving Val Demings down your throat anyway.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's not much to write home about, you know, as far as the gubernatorial race is concerned. But, you know, again, the party, unfortunately, in the state it's a mess. It's a terrible mess, and it's only getting worse.
Okay, this was what I sent you, okay? Two GOP senators shared photos of Zelensky during the call after they were asked not to do so by the Ukraine. So there were all these senators on a Zoom call, on a video call. And they were all asked ahead of time to not share pictures. And Rubio and Steve Daines, I don't know him, but he's obviously he's some sort of douche.
You're
if he's in this.
Cool.
And that really goes to show you, like, Rubio, like, what a little pissant.
Yeah.
He's like, they tell me not to show pictures. I'm going to show this. Like, seriously, somebody that he's the kid that had the kick me on his back.
Well, he is.
And was probably shoved into so many lockers and is just so overcompensating.
Yeah. Remember
ridiculous.
When him and Cruz were getting it.
Don't share the picture. Fine. Oh, OK. We're going to share the picture. Fuck out of here. Like, how can you even be taken seriously?
Yeah.
So that was what it is.
Doug, we have no channel mods. No one cares about our show. So unfortunately, we have no support.
Do we need channel mods?
We kind of do, because there's always people in the chat who want to try to goad us into getting their attention. We're not going to do that. So, you know, it is what it is.
But yeah, from a Saturday meeting.
But what do we have coming up on Wednesday?
What do we have coming? I don't know, because you did like a whole switcheroo on me today.
Everybody knows that the labor movement really is the future here, and that's what we need to be focusing on. And so on Wednesday, we are going to
have... Shahid Buttar is coming on. He is running. I'm assuming he's running for the Saints. Have they not been redistricted or anything?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. And we are going to have a very important conversation about
Fun
21st
stuff.
Century Bill of Rights.
Second.
Either way, you could call it whatever you
want. It really stems from FDR's Second Bill of Rights. It's been talked about before. This is not novel, but we're going to be talking with a couple of people that recently wrote a really good article in Common Dreams about this.
Mm.
And the idea of that, you know, we're entitled to things like healthcare and a living wage.
So we've got
crazy things.
So we've got good friend of the show, Harvey Kay, professor emeritus at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And he's bringing Alan Minsky, journalist from the LA Progressive from Los Angeles, California.
You know why? You know what it is why I love Harvey? Because he reminds me of like every professor I would have loved in college. Like, he's the professor I would have loved to have in college. I mean, and I did have some of those too, but that's what it is. He's very... he's very engaging. He makes the stuff fun. He's just really, I don't know. I just dig that.
We're trying, Pierce. We're trying. We would love to get those guys.
The kids, the teens.
The kids are all right. They're definitely
Love to get them on.
Yeah, the Gravel Institute guys are awesome. And we would love to have them on.
Do they do a stream? We should do a cross stream with them.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Do they have a stream? Do they do a show?
I'm not
100%
sure about that, but we are going to have a big, I don't know if it's going to be a crossover stream, but it'll be interesting to see what happens on Monday, next Monday.
Let's see what's happening.
A huge content creator on our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The Amazing Atheist.
But even before that, so Peter's really good about getting people. I'll see something and I'll take a photo snapshot of somebody's Twitter and I'll say, can you get this guy to come on the show? Mm-hmm. And he usually does. Like, with the exception of a few really high-end celebrities that are definitely, you know, out of our league, you've been pretty consistently good. But so I saw something about this gentleman who's in Orlando about this. He's a housing rights advocate and some of the things that they're doing to overcome what's going on in terms of like the homelessness, unhoused people. Florida's really bad right now. Miami's the worst in terms of increased rent costs.
I don't know. They're in a fight with Tampa and Orlando.
It's just bad. It's just bad. And so this gentleman, what was his name? I forget his name. Austin Valle. Yeah. So we're going to talk with him. And then we're talking with
the Amazing Atheist.
I always thought I was the Amazing Atheist. I didn't know that was a thing.
He'll be very happy to talk to you. I'll just be here.
This is how I ultimately found Kyle Kalinske. Yeah. It was not about politics. It was secular talk. And it was like this concept of approaching things with, you know, reason. And that was something that spoke to me. So the fact that he talked politics, well, yeah. And he talked about it reasonably. He still does for the most part.
And we also talked about
the Amazing Atheist. I feel like I am an amazing atheist.
Yes. Well, not only that, but, we were talking today about the importance of somebody like, maybe even somebody like Amazing Atheist, but especially somebody like Vosh. And
You're going to get us canceled now.
I don't care. The reason why Vosh is important, whether you agree with all of his politics and we don't.
No.
You know, here's a guy who has the ability to connect with people who has, and it's not a joke, but, you know, he speaks to people that are the next school shooters, if you will. The people who are complete incels, who do not have, very good social skills. They are probably horrifically bad with members of the opposite sex. And
I mean, not to stereotype, no, but yeah, he definitely, it's the gamer community.
Yeah, they have an outlet. Mike Figueredo, we can't say enough good things about. One of our very favorites. And Jordan Sheraton, of course. But the point about Vosh is that there you go. So we do have some Vosh love out there, which is good.
Because I respect him, because he's a net positive. But here's the thing, and this is what I say to people when they get on us about liking Andrew Yang, because they don't agree with him on X, Y, and Z, or he's not progressive, or whatever it is, whatever your point is. I always like to think about the person and just in general, let's think this. So we could say this about Vosh, for example, right? Let's say Vosh were put in a position of power and authority. He's the kind of person that very much supports the idea of majority rule situation. So it's not like somebody like him or somebody like Andrew Yang would get into any position of power and dictate this is the way it's going to be. The fact that I like certain people is because they're not authoritarian. So I don't have to agree with them on everything because I just don't have to.
And some people just truly care. You may not necessarily agree with
exactly
their philosophy. You know, there are people who are not in this for the right reasons. But just be grateful, guys. You could have our congresswoman. That's all I can say.
When you say, okay, Jimmy Dore is pro-Russia, I don't know whether he is or not, but this is the thing. Why aren't we all pro-Russia? Like, why aren't we all pro-Ukraine?
We're in the Cold War all over again.
Yeah, this is the thing. I will not be fearful of Russia in any way, shape, or form. Their military is minuscule compared to ours. Their economy is the size of Spain. I'm just, unless somebody would tell me what is it we're really scared of, their economy is in the toilet. They're not capable. Now, the Chinese, that's another story. And China and their alliance with Russia, that should concern us, but only from the standpoint of we've been bullying the world for so long that now those bullied are combining together to rise up against us. And the fact that it happens to be Russia again is just ludicrous to me. They're not our enemies. They haven't done anything to us. We have slowly encroached on their space. We have spread NATO further than we were ever supposed to. And we have continued to like totally like instigate and all of that and needle them. And I feel like I will never see them as an enemy. I'm sorry. I just won't. The Russians love their babies too. And I'm not participating in that.
You know, the universal theory is that, you know, Americans are not bad people, but we have bad government.
Same as everywhere
else. Same as Russia, and probably the same as Ukraine.
I can assure you that the vast majority of people, okay, do not mean harm to others. And the vast majority of people in these countries are regular people struggling to survive. Struggling to, because these things don't happen in places like Scandinavia. Okay. So the people that are these countries that things like this happen, these are just people that are already struggling to get by and to live. That's it. Yeah. These people are not a threat. They're just wanting to, like, again, it's very frustrating. And we turn it into this sort of like patriotic nationalistic thing. And I find that really frustrating. And I wanted to mention this about Jesse Ventura before, because when we were talking about him, and the irony is not lost on me that Jesse Ventura, who I consider to be an amazingly good patriot. Like, I consider him to be an extremely good patriot. And the fact that he was on RT was one of the reasons that I started watching RT in the first place, that I thought, okay, this must be okay. Jesse Ventura is on there and it must be like legit. And
one thing we will address before we go, guys, just whistling pixie, we will say this. NATO has its benefits, but NATO is also the tool of the American empire. And when we want to encroach upon people's territory, we use NATO as a shield.
That's not even my issue. I don't have hate for NATO. My problem is that we expanded past our agreement with Russia post-World War II. We had an agreement with them. We violated it like we do with everybody, like we did with the Native Americans. We just violated it. Yep. And that we've never really been accountable to that. So I really have a problem with NATO per se. My problem is that we violated our agreement with the Russians. And by the way, had it been in the other direction, the outcome would have been very, very different. And we just act like we're not somehow provoking this left and right. You know, we don't care that we're going to use the Ukrainians as collateral damage between some proxy war between us and China.
And that's
and
exactly what's going on right now.
Well, yeah, this is like a proxy
see
war.
That, you know,
it's us and China. And well, it's us and Russia, Russia being financed by China, but basically against us and using the people of Ukraine as pawns. And it's disgusting. But I don't like find it any different than any other Saturday in America, any other Monday in America. That's the sad reality.
Yeah. No. And again, we have three global superpowers, us, Russia and China. And we play these little war games. Well, they're not little, but, you know, this is what happens. And when you have nuclear weapons thrown into the mix, it really is devastatingly bad. And when you factor in also the climate catastrophe that we have going on right now, it's just one thing after the other after the other, and it just feels like we're at like a breaking point. It's a question of when the dam
and I'm just so done with the military industrial complex on all fronts. With all, I'm just done with it. I mean, I'm not a open borders person, but this is a clear example of why there are so many issues. This is also a huge problem in Afghanistan as well. This is one of those things where we've drawn borders where oligarchs find it convenient to draw borders, and we divide ethnic groups amongst themselves so that they're, and it doesn't work for like, it, this is part of the problem is these man-made borders that don't accommodate where people really feel comfortable and what they're, so it's like we said, you're now Ukrainian. That's not how this works. Like there's no way to establish any sort of like, you know, solidarity with that. And this is a very big problem in Afghanistan as well. I know it's one of those places where we draw the lines.
Well, like we said, we are
get in the line, people.
We're in a very interesting situation right now because with what's going on in Ukraine is really bad. We are completely ignoring. And it's not that we're ignoring, it's that media is not covering the endless bombing that's going on in Yemen as we speak. And there are other places. We could talk about exactly what's going on in Afghanistan and how the Biden sanctions killing that country.
And people don't want to talk about that. I'm going to say this very clearly. After 1 year of those sanctions, Biden will be responsible for killing more children in Afghanistan than Trump ever did during his time overseeing that war.
Really great of you to mention that. Really
I'm just
great.
Saying, like, I'm it's totally like if you're not calling out what's happening with the sanctions, then you really, hopefully you weren't somebody that was screaming and crying about, you know, Trump facilitating the war.
Well, as we said, when it's wedge issues, the Democrats tend to be better on wedge issues, but they're all stupid altogether. But when it comes to corporate special interests, they're equal. They're equal. They always find a way to make sure that it's done. That's the bottom line.
So what else are we working on? A PAC?
We are working on that. We're working on a book, potentially.
I've been working on this and trying to get your engagement for a while. Oh, that's not going to help.
Well, we've got a lot to do. Obviously, Wednesday will be here before you know it. Possible event on Saturday we may be attending.
I forget.
Stone.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I want to say yes for that, unless you know for sure, but we will definitely keep people abreast of what's going on. We appreciate you guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. We know we've got a lot of interesting conversation going on in the chat. You guys behave yourselves now, but we'll be seeing you on Wednesday.
Thanks for watching. If you want to support our mission to transform politics into service, please like this video, subscribe, follow us on social media, and consider joining our Patreon, where you'll get early access to our interviews as well as other exclusive content. Links are in the description. Peace out.